Thanking you, God, for what you're doing in our lives, God. I'm praying, God, that you would think through my mind, speak through my vocal cords. Thank you, Father, that the message will not be hindered or interrupted by any satanic or demonic forces, but revelation knowledge will flow freely and people will be eternally blessed and touched. And for that, we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And let the people shout. Amen. Amen. Come on, with your Bibles in your hands. Whatever you connect to the Word of God with a literal Bible, a phone, whatever it is, just grab it and hold it up a little and repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. I will have what the Word says I will have. I am alert. My heart is receptive. I'm ready to receive. In Jesus' name, Pastor Andre, feed me this word. Amen. Come on, put your hands together. Glory to God. Amen. I've got a little extra time. I'm going to try to take my time. I may do more than just an hour, but it'll bless your life. I'm going to start back with what we talked about last week. We are in a leadership series, and last week we talked about leader slips. And so instead of there being leadership, there's been leader slips. The very first thing that we talked about was bottleneck leadership. Somebody say bottleneck leadership. And what we did, we gave you two case studies. The first case study was where we talked about the leader. So it is the case study of if I was the one causing the bottleneck. And then the second case study was the followers, as if you were the ones causing the bottleneck. And what bottleneck leadership is when the head person or the head leader wants everything to funnel through them before anything can get done. And we're teaching on how that is a leadership model that can slow things down. And so we gave you a lot of things, and we ended up on the follower side on the case study B, and we ended up in Acts chapter 6. And at the end of that, Acts chapter 6, what we read was this. The point that we put up was that rapid church growth is the result when followers become leaders. Somebody say, I'm ready to become a leader. And so the only way we can actually grow the ministry is when not only the leaders are leaders, but when the followers determine that they will be leaders as well. Someone do me a favor and turn the fans on just to get it a little cool in here. All right, so what we're going to do, we're going to talk about leadership trajectory. I'm going to, before I get in today's lesson, I want to give us just if you're trying to move into leadership, I want to give us a trajectory. These numbers are a little small, but I'm going to try to work it out for you. So if you see the arc starts at the bottom and goes up and kind of tapers off. And so there is a leadership trajectory. So if you're going to be a leader, if you're going to grow into leadership, there's a trajectory that you must understand. And it's hopefully you're going to end up at point number four. So point number four. Number one, and this comes from a study on dominion by Bishop Tudor Bismarck. And so I borrowed it from him. Number one says this: doing the wrong thing, not knowing it's wrong. So the first step as a follower in becoming a leader is learning what is right and what is wrong. Oftentimes you can be doing the wrong thing and not knowing that it's wrong. And so it's my job to tell you what's right so that you can move in the right direction or the right trajectory. So step number one is doing the wrong thing, but you don't know you're doing the wrong thing. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with people coming here. They come here with addictions. They come here with issues. They come here with problems. They come here with hangups. But they're just coming to get a hold of God. They don't really know everything that they're doing is wrong. It's my job to nurture them and move them in the right direction. I don't care who comes, how they come. On ground level, everybody can become a leader no matter where they start. Include the wino, includes the prostitute, includes the addict, includes the jealous person, includes the envious person. All kinds of hangups, all kinds of issues. The church is the hospital for the messed up people. We want the messed up people to come. So the first step is when you're doing the wrong thing, but you don't even know you're doing the wrong thing. And I'm okay with that. Number two, but that's the problem. This is where a lot of followers don't make that jump, because they come to this. It's when they're doing the wrong thing, knowing it's wrong. At some point, when you begin to hear the word of God,
And you begin to be challenged by the Spirit of God. And you feel the conviction of God. You've got to make a choice. And a lot of people make the choice, I'm going to keep doing what's wrong because it's easier. And so it's hard for me as a leader to train people to become followers that will turn into leaders if you're doing wrong and you know it's wrong. I'm not talking about you have struggles and you have issues. I'm talking about you're doing the wrong and you don't care and you don't want nobody to tell you nothing about it. You don't want nobody in your business. You don't want to come to church. And if you're gone for 7 months and somebody asks you where you been, you got an attitude. I cannot work with anybody like that who's doing wrong. They know it's wrong and they don't want anybody to challenge them. You don't want to be led if you don't want anybody to challenge you ever in your life. Well, don't talk about my sex life. Don't talk about what I do outside of here. Well, if we could only do what stuff inside of here, then we can fake the world. Well, I got to talk about what you do outside of here. So doing the wrong thing, not knowing it's wrong, I'm okay with. Number two is when you're doing the wrong thing and you know it's wrong and you don't care. So that's a problem. So you don't want to get on that trajectory because that'll bring you down. Number three, this is when you're doing the right thing, not knowing you're doing the right thing. This is another issue, is that you get to moving. You're not doing wrong. You're doing right. But you really don't know how you're doing right or why you're doing right. You just know it's working. In other words, someone says, hey, I started a business, and your business gets to working. And you ask them, well, how did you do it? And they have to say, well, you know, I don't really know. It just works. Things fell into place. That's okay, but the problem is you can't lead anybody when you don't even know how you got there yourself. In other words, you're doing the right thing, but you're kind of lucking into it. You're doing what's right. Things are going well. Your marriage is working, but you can't even tell nobody how. Well, how did y'all stay together through all that trouble? I don't know. We just prayed. Well, people need to know more than we just pray. They need to know some clear, practical steps. So step number three is good. It's good that you're doing the right thing, but we got to get you to understand why you're doing the right thing. So here's step number four. This is when you become a leader. I'm going to go through the steps again. Number one, you're doing the wrong thing. You don't know it's wrong. Number two, you're doing the wrong thing, but you know it's wrong. Number three, you're doing the right thing, but you don't even know it's the right thing. But number four is you're doing the right thing, and you know it's the right thing. This is when you become a leader. It's when you can do what's right and you know what you're doing is right. You know how you got there and you can turn around and help somebody else get to where you are. So this is what I want you to be. I want you to be leaders who are doing the right thing in such a way you can practically tell somebody else how to do the right thing. Thank God for prayer, but people need to hear more than just pray on it. Well, how did you get out of your abusive relationship? Baby, just pray on it. Well, baby, I'm getting hit upside the head. I need to know more than just pray on it. Is there a place I can go? Can I call the police? We got to give people practical steps. And the problem with the church is we put everything off in the heavens. Well, just pray on it. God will work it out. Jesus will make a way. I need some answers. I don't want to just hear Jesus will make a way in the sweet by and by. Tell me what I need to do. And when you become a leader, it's hard for you just to give people just easy answers. You want to do life with them so they can get on that trajectory and go higher and higher. All right, having said that, this is going to lead us into our lesson for today. And the reason why I took my time, because it's going to sound kind of funny, but today we're talking about leader pimps. So we're in a leadership series, and first we talk about leader slips. Today we're talking about leader pimps. Problem I have is a lot of leaders are not in leadershipping, they're in leader pimping. And so I'm gonna break it down for you. I'm gonna give you scripture so you can understand, because some of y'all may have had leaders that were actually pimping you than they were actually helping you. So we're gonna try to work it. Somebody say, help me, Pastor. All right, so leader pimping case study A, we're going to do the same thing we did last time. We're going to start with the leader. We're going to start with the top down. First point I want to put up there before we roll. A leader pimp is when a leader takes advantage of, demeans, disenfranchises, and abuses their followers to stay on top. Let me say that again. A leader pimp is someone or a leader that takes advantage of, that demeans, that disenfranchises, and abuses their followers to stay on top. I'm going to say it one more time. It's somebody who takes advantage of, demeans, disenfranchises, and abuses their followers to stay on top. All right, we're going to go to the next point. Basically, the master-slave relationship or the pimp-prostitute relationship. So I know some of y'all been saved all your life, so y'all don't know anything. So I'm going to have to explain to you. But the master-slave relationship, especially when it comes to African Americans, many of the masters, all they did was build America on our backs. Take from us, steal from us, beat us, rape us, kill us, and give us no credit. Not too long ago, we celebrated Columbus Day and how Columbus came over here and he discovered America. He didn't. How can you discover something where people are already there? He took over and they brought people from other places, European places, and took over. And then they say we are founded on a Christian nation. But tell the truth, there was some leader pimping. There were some people you put your foot on their neck in order for you to get ahead. They even trained and said the black man is just three-fifths of a man. He's not even a whole man, so you can treat him how you want to treat him. But let's fast forward into modern day. Well, not modern day, because prostitution is the oldest trade in the book. But even though there had been prostitution, the whole idea of a pimp is something new. The pimp used the prostitute to do all the work, and they took all the money. And how they took all the money is, first thing they would do, they would find somebody who was insecure about themselves. And they would strip them. What they would do is called breaking them. They would break them and make them believe that the only way they can get ahead is they got to trust Big Daddy. They got to trust Big Daddy. Oh, they would treat them good for a while, but there was an end game in mind. They would love them or make them feel like they were being loved for a while, but there was an end game in mind. And after they broke them down, they would send them to the street and make them make money, and they would come and take the money. And if they didn't want to give up the money, they would beat them down. It was the pimp-prostitute relationship. And this is what I'm saying. There's a lot of leaders who are acting just like the master and acting just like the pimp. The only reason why they engage you is to take from you. The only reason why they deal with you is so that they can keep you down and to break you down and to strip your mindset and make you think that you can't make it without them. You should never in your life subject yourself to leadership that makes you feel like you're nothing and makes it seem like they are everything. And I hate to say it, but it's happened in the house of God. There's been molestation in the house of God. There's been sexual assault in the house of God. There have been preachers who take people's money. There have been preachers that say, you can't drive nothing nice. Everything, I'm going to be driving the best thing on the lot. I'm going to be living in the best house. Your job is to serve me. And that's not leadership. That's leader pimp. And the problem I have with is people have... They posed as leaders. They posed as if I'm on your side and I'm trying to help you and they're really trying to rob you. And I want you to wake up all around, not just in the church world, but all around. Some people that is your boss is not really on your side. They will make you do all the work and they'll take all the credit. And sometimes you got to stand up for yourself and tell the truth. And wait a second, that's not how it went. I know you're trying to take all the credit and I may lose my job, but I got to tell you the truth because I will not let somebody put their foot on my neck. The days of being a slave and being punked and being pimped, them days are over forever. I am somebody and God, you will not pull the wool over my head, because if you're going to lead me, you better lead me with some respect. If you're going to lead me, you better honor me. You cannot really be a leader and not honor the people you lead. If I'm going to be your leader, I've got to honor you. I can't dishonor you. I can't disenfranchise you. I can't make you think you can't get a prayer through if I don't do it. I can't make you think that you can't listen to no other preacher. Do you know some preachers will come in church and talk about every other preacher and say, you can't, don't listen to Joel Osteen. Don't listen to nobody on television. If you're going to listen to anything, listen to me. I'm saying listen to anything that feeds your spirit, because anything that grows you is a blessing to me. It's not a one-man show. It's not a one-man show. I'm just the vessel that God is using. I'm just a vessel that God has chosen. I should be honored. I should be respected, but I should not be lifted above people to the point it looks like I'm the only one in the world. No, we are in this together. Make up in your mind, I will not be leader pimped. And I want to turn the conversation to young people getting married, specifically young women. Some of these boys that pose themselves as if they love you, you got to make them prove it. If they hit you in the face, they don't love you. I don't care how good they are. I don't care how sweet they talk. If they're punching you in the face, it's not love. And I know it hurts to invest in somebody you thought loved you, but if he can't keep his fist off your face, it's not love. Run as fast as you can. Tell somebody. Tired of our young girls getting beat up for nothing. Tell somebody. And it's not easy for people to get out of these relationships because they're soul ties. But let me let you know something. We got some deacons in here. And we ain't been deacons all our lives. And we got some preachers in here, and we ain't been preachers all our lives. If we need to rough somebody up to get them off your face, we do whatever we got to do because we're trying to protect your life. I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. But let somebody mess with a lot of. I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I filled with the Holy Ghost, but I have a 9mm pistol too. And who, if you want the preacher, you better treat her like a princess. But if you want the other guy, you're going to have some trouble because I will not let anybody punk and push around the people that I love. Amen. But by the same token, I don't want no preacher running through here trying to run game on you and play games. And then we got a $1,000 line. If you want to get a miracle, you'd be in the $1,000 line. If you got a headache, you're in the $10 line. We're not playing games with people. We're not selling miracle water, a green miracle water that we got over from Israel. And really, we got it from the White River. And we lined. No, we're not doing that. We're going to be real leaders. And the reason why a lot of people in the world can't stand the church because there's been too many pimps in the pews. Yeah. All right. You got to get off of that. So let me break it down for you just in case you don't understand. Leader pimp versus leadership. How can we recognize it? How can we see it? How can you know if I'm moving in the wrong direction and moving in a way where I'm not really being a leader the way I should be? Let me give you just a few things that you can pick up and pick out automatically. And this goes for relationships too. Number one, leading with threats. Overall, I've got two lines. I'm just going to read them out. I may give some redress to a few of them. Well, number one, leading with threats. Anybody who leads with threats. In other words, if y'all don't give in this church, I'm not going to be stuck around. I can't lead like that. It's okay to talk about giving, but if you're always leading with threatening people. In other words, now when my mom and dad were raising me and I was young, sometimes they led with threats. If you don't do such and such, I'm going to pull off my belt. But when I became mature, they didn't talk to me like that. Because mature people should be talked to through maturity. You don't lead people through threatening them. All right, I'm going to go to the right side. I'm going left to right. The right side, a culture of taking more than giving. In other words, all I do is take. That's what the pimp did. All he did was take and didn't give. And so if you're around preachers and pastors and leaders that all they talk about is taking and not giving, then you might be under a bad leadership. Number two, too serious for humor. People who are too serious, you can't laugh around them. You can't crack a smile. Everything got to be serious. You got to watch people that are always that serious. And you can't smile and you can't laugh. And God don't like a joke. Watch them people, because people who don't laugh, the Bible says laughter is good like a medicine. If you're in God, there ought to be some joy about you. I'm bothered by leaders and pastors and bishops that never smile.
Hallelujah.
What? Smile every now and then. You're not that deep. You're not that holy. Crack a smile. If you're too serious for humor, I'm watching out for you. Amen. On the other side, a culture of intimidation. In other words, in order for me to interact with you, I've got to intimidate you. In other words, before I even talk, I got to tell you all my pedigree. Well, I've got 7 degrees. I've been to Harvard, Yale, and I've been to Dartmouth. And you, all you've done is gone to Ball State, so you need to listen to me instead of me listening to you. Shut up. We all can learn from each other. You can learn from a child. Don't intimidate people to get your point across. Young girls, if the man is intimidating you to get you to do what he wants you to do, he doesn't really love you. Do not come under a culture of intimidation. Amen. Somebody say to say, I will not be intimidated. All right. Verbally abusive. Some leaders are just verbally abusive. They'll talk you down. Number one, they always talk down to you, and they always dress you down. A good example of this is in the Army. When people go through boot camp, they try to break their spirit. And you see the sergeant, the way he talks to the soldier is because they're trying to break them down. But that's not real leadership. I should be able to talk to you as if you're on my level. I should not verbally abuse you in order to get my way. Physical abuse is bad, but some of y'all are in verbally abusive relationships, and you need to get out of that too. Don't let somebody tell you all the things that you're not and always trying to lower you and diminish you. You've got to stand up for yourself. Amen. All right, going to the other side. Never their fault. No matter what happens, it's never their fault. You ever dealt with a boss like that? No matter what happened, it's always the worker's fault. Maybe it was your fault. Maybe it was the information you gave. Maybe it was the way you trained us. Maybe it was this. But a leader pimp, it's never their fault. If the church is not full, it's always your fault. It's never my preaching. It's never anything I can do better. It's not anything I can change. It's always your fault. A leader knows that whatever goes wrong, they first have to look in the mirror. When anything goes wrong in this church, my first stop is look at Andre, not look at y'all first. Because a real leader takes share of the blame. Amen. You're in a relationship and it's never their fault. It's not going to be a good relationship. All right. They lead with anger. In other words, this is how they lead. It's always about anger. It's always about their temper. They lead with anger, and then there's a lack of kindness. They're never kind. Watch people. I want to go back to relationships. Watch people. When you go on a date, don't just date the person. Watch how they treat the waiter. Watch how they handle the other people. Because mean and evil people, even if they're putting on a front for you now, they're eventually going to show their mean and their evil side. So watch them. Don't be so enamored of what they say to you. Watch how they treat others. Watch how they are in traffic. If they cuss everybody out, it won't be long before they start cussing you out too. Pay attention. Anybody that leads with anger and anybody has no kindness, they might not be the right type of leader to be under. All right, raising their voice to get their point across. The weaker you are, the more you have to raise your voice to get your point across. Every now and then, I must raise my voice. There's nothing wrong with that. But if I'm always raising my voice, I'm a weak communicator. Weak communicators have to holler to get their point across. Remember that. All right, high on criticism, low on compliments. They start with criticism. They very rarely compliment. They don't tell you how good you look, how nice you are, how much you've done, but they're high on criticism. No matter what you do, you're always wrong. They're always right. You're in the wrong type of relationship. And a leader like that is a leader pimp. High on criticism, low on compliments. The very bottom one on the left-hand side, believes force submission is leading. If I force you to submit, I say I'm a leader. That's not leading. That's forcing someone to submit. And the other one is when you demand loyalty versus earning loyalty. And I'll say another way. Demanding respect versus earning respect. Anybody who automatically demands your respect without earning your respect, they're not a good leader. All right. So having put all those things together, now let's read some scripture. Let's go to 1 Peter 5:1. I'm going to be reading from the Amplified version, the classic Amplified. And you can follow along in the King James, or you can just look on the screen. All right. Before I go there, as I was preparing this, because I'm not this type of leader, and you know that, but I'm trying to teach you about leadership. But as I was looking at leadership, I was looking at relationships as well. Because I know a lot of people are stuck in relationships that are like that. And so I gave you that list for a reason. So you look and you know what kind of relationship you're in. Also, including your bosses or including your professors, you have to pay attention, because sometimes people will make you feel like you're the problem. And you realize after you start looking at somebody, saying, the problem ain't me, the problem is them. Insecure people will always make it look like you're the one who's causing the trouble. But the problem is they're the one causing the trouble. And if you know that, you can always outsmart and rise above insecure people, because you don't have to put up. But all you got to do is buck up against the bully one time. And a bully will always back up if you confront them face to face. And we've got spiritual bullies in the house of God. All right. 1 Peter 5:1, the Amplified Version says this: I warn and counsel the elders among you, the pastors and spiritual guides of the church, as a fellow elder and as an eyewitness called to testify. Peter was talking to the other elders, and he was saying, listen, I walk with Jesus. I was with Jesus, and so I know how this is supposed to operate. And Peter wasn't the best follower. Peter was cutting up, cussing, cutting folks' ear off. Peter tried to rebuke Jesus. So Peter had some ups and downs, but Jesus was always consistent. So when Peter crossed over and he was a leader, he started telling other people, said, this is how you should lead. I want you to understand. So I'm going to read it again. I warn and counsel the elders among you, the pastors and spiritual guides of the church, as a fellow elder and as an eyewitness called to testify of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a sharer in the glory, the honor and splendor that is to be revealed, disclosed, and unfolded. Next verse says this, verse 2. Tend, nurture. Listen, these are instructions to me, your pastor. This is what the Bible tells me I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to tend, nurture, guard, guide, and fold the flock of God. That is your responsibility. Not by coercion or constraint, but willingly, not dishonorably motivated by the advantage and profits. One version says, not doing it for greedy gain. Not, my focus should never be money. My focus should never be dollar signs. I should see souls, not dollar signs. I should never see you as a dollar sign. I should always see you as a soul. I should tend to you. I should nurture you. I should guard you. I should pray for you. I should be a shepherd. Right, as it goes on, not dishonorably motivated by the advantage and profits belonging to the office, but eagerly and cheerfully. That's why I said I should do some stuff with a smile on my face. Now, of course, the work that I do is serious, but when I encounter you, there ought to be some smiles. When I see you in the mall, if I got to duck and try to get away from you, I may not be a good leader. If I look at you and never smile, but there should be some cheer about it, because you are the flock that God has entrusted me with. I should love you. Even if I am tired, even if I'm frustrated, I ought to treat you with love. When you message me, I ought to spend some time messaging you back. And if you don't hear from me for 6 and 7 weeks, there ought to be an explanation why I didn't get back with you. I should treat you with the utmost respect. All right, next. Verse 3, not domineering, as arrogant, dictatorial, and overbearing persons. Why would you bring this up, Pastor? Because I still want to point to the highest leader in our land. And I want us to look at the dictatorial ways, the overbearing, that if I don't agree with you, I'll say you are an SOB and you should be fired. That's not real leadership. Real leadership, you don't have to be ugly to disagree. As a leader, I'm not going to agree with everything you do, but I don't have to name call you. I don't have to browbeat you. I don't have to tell you you're going to hell every week. A real leader ought to tend and guard and nurture and be there. Now, as a father, sometimes I'm tough on my kids, but there always ought to be something. They ought to always know that they can come to me. And so what kind of leaders are we building when we put leaders that are loose-lipped and loose tongues and will tweet at the drop of a hat about anything without any facts? Are you really concerned about America? Or are you concerned about your own agenda? I'm going to make America great. How are you going to make me great? And you'll denigrate me. You talk down to me and tell me what I am and what bothered me the most. And I hate to. I've never done this in my life where I've talked about a sitting president as much as I've talked about this president. But there were some things that bothered me the way he ran his campaign. And I've never been a fan of the Clintons. Never. So I gave him a listening ear because I've never been a fan of the Clintons because the Clintons, they said President Clinton was our first black president. But prison shot through the roof when he got in office. The prison complex. So Republicans and Democrats, ain't none of them really been for the African-American. Not nary a one of them. So I give everybody a listening ear before I vote for anybody because I don't trust none of y'all. You come to our churches, you beg for our votes, but you don't do anything for us. So I don't trust you. I listen to the best one that I can. So listening to President Trump, I appreciated he was the one, at least he talked about what was going on in the African-American community. But he only talked about it from one side. He said, y'all live in ghettos. Y'all die in the street. Hold on, brother. All of us don't live in ghettos. If you're going to address us, address the whole of us. Don't put us all in one barrel, all in one bag. Yes, we have a high prison rate, and it's because the way y'all treat us. But don't forget to talk about our high college rate. Don't forget to talk about the fathers and the mothers and the sisters and the brothers. If you're going to talk about me, you better address me with some respect. So he already turned me off. And when he first announced his presidency, he began to talk about the Mexicans. And he said this, he said they're drug dealers, they're rapists. And some of them are good. Any smart leader always does it the opposite. They say there's some good people. There's some great blacks. There's some awesome blacks. And some of them are bad. He flipped it and said all the Mexicans are bad, but just a few of them. I cannot stand a leader that will lump everybody and put them all in one bag. How do I know you have my best interest if you don't understand what I've gone through and you won't listen to me and you think you know everything? I can't stand a leader who thinks they know everything and will never take the time to listen. Listen to what we're talking about. Listen to our issues. Listen to us and then you can lead us. But because we are the minority, we don't need to be listened to. But guess what? We're in a new day and we're in a new age. And God is raising up black leaders. 50 years after the civil rights movement, God is raising up black leaders. But the last time black leaders was raised up, they assassinated them. But they can't assassinate us this time. We're in a new age. You can't shoot us and beat us and stick dogs on us this time. We know who we are. We will boycott everything we can because we are somebody in God. And if you're going to lead me, you better respect me. Now, coming back to the spiritual world, if I'm going to lead you, I've got to respect you. I've got to love you. I've got to care for you. Your opinion must matter to me. I will not be dominated by your opinion, but I still must listen. Pastor, I don't think this is going well. I shouldn't be so big-headed that I can't listen. Because a real leader is not about pimping. He's about leading. All right, let's keep on moving. It's not domineering as arrogant, dictatorial, and overbearing. Another thing, arrogant. Watch the arrogance of your leaders. A real leader is always humble at the end of the day. They have humble confidence. I'm not scared and I'm not a punk, so I have confidence, but I'm humble. I shouldn't be arrogant and caught up on myself and, oh my goodness, you can't get makeup on my Tom Ford suit. Makeup rubs off. If you're crying and hurting, I should be able to hug you and love you. Nothing I have on and nothing I have should be more important than a human being. Can't ride in my car. He smells like alcohol. Gosh, he smells like weed. Your car ain't that important. And you're not that important. A soul is the most important thing in the world. And as I go, it bugs me because God is moving me into arenas. And I want to be in arenas where I can preach the word of God more openly and see more people. But I don't like what I see. I don't like what I see behind the scenes. Where people are preaching up a storm and people are hollering at them saying, go ahead. And they're just almost fawning over them. But when you go to eat with them same preachers. They talk about any and everything. And I'm wondering, like, you are leading the people. But what it is, a lot of people are gifted, but they're not really saved. They talk a good game, and they can stir up a crowd, but their life is raggedy. I would rather talk to seven people and have a great life than talk to 700 people and be a jack-led, no good leader.
All right. Got to get off of that. So, not dictatorial and overbearing persons over those in your charge, but being examples, patterns, and models of Christian living to the flock and the congregation. It's my job to have a model marriage, even though marriage is hard. My marriage shouldn't be the worst marriage in the church if I'm going to lead y'all. It's my job. I shouldn't have the worst kids in the church if I'm going to lead y'all. It's my job to lead and to be an example. To be a pattern. In other words, you ought to be able to look at me and say, you know what? He's not perfect, but I'll follow him into any battle. Because at the end of the day, I know he's trying to be the best example he can be. And that is what is charged of us as leaders. And let me say that. Don't jump to be the person with the mic, because it's harder than what you think it is. It costs to be up here. It costs to be the boss. There's a price to pay, but I'm willing to pay it. If it causes the other people to rise up to a great level. People ask me all the time, say, you should run for office. I don't want to run for office. If God tells me to, I will. I don't want to, because I cannot do anything without putting my whole heart in it. And I got to give my all. If I'm going to do it, I got to give my all. And I really don't have anything else to give. I'm as stretched, as thin as I can be, but I want to be an example. When I die, I want people to cry, not because they're sad, they're missing me, because they know a great man has gone under the earth. I want to live in such a way that you're proud. When you hear my name spoken, I want you to rise up with pride. I don't want you to have to hide your face when they talk about your pastor. When somebody says, oh, the babies in the church look like the pastor. I don't want that to be said in this church. I'm not dogging any other pastor in the other church, but I don't want that said in this church. I don't want it said that, yeah, he loves his wife, but he's always flirting with everybody he can see. Anything moving. I don't want it said of me. I want to be an example that you can be proud of. When you say I belong to Deliverance Temple and Pastor Andre is my pastor, I want you to have pride in what you're saying. All right. And here's the reason why. Here's the major reason why I am the way I am. 1 Peter 5:4 says this. And then when the chief shepherd is revealed. I'm going to stop there. So what Peter is telling all these other people said, y'all shepherds, y'all leaders, but you are not the main. You're not the head guy. I'm a pastor, but I'm not the CEO of the universe. And what Peter says, the chief shepherd is going to show up. And if you do what's right, you will win the conqueror's crown of glory. Even though I want y'all proud of me, I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it because I've got a boss that's greater than any other boss. I've got a boss that puts breath in my body. I got a boss that saved me from sin and hell and death and the grave. And I answer to one man, and his name is Jesus Christ. I don't want to get before God and say, I prophesied in your name. I preached in your name. And the Bible says he'll say, I never knew you. Because you weren't nothing but a leader pimp. You never cared about the people. I don't want it said of me. At the end of the day, I've got somebody I've got to answer to. And he's bigger and badder than all of y'all in this room. He's better than the president of the United States. He's better than ISIS. He's better than the devil. And I've got to give an account to him. So I'm not going to let y'all make me mess up with my master. And here's the thing. I know at the end of the day, God is watching me. Not just in church. He's watching me everywhere I go. So if I'm nice to Will in church, oh, Will, I love you. But at home, I tell Devin, Will, get on my nerves. I can't stand that man. I can't wait till he leave. Guess what? Will may never know, but God knows. And God will not
make Will keep coming to a place where he's not honored, he's not appreciated, and the leader goes behind his back to talk about him. God is watching me, so who you see here is who I am there, because God is watching me. I'm so serious about what I do. The old saying, it's a bad saying, but I'm serious as a heart attack. I'm serious. This is about life and death to me. It's about changing lives and changing souls. It's about touching family and touching community. I'm serious about what I do because I have a chief shepherd that I have to answer to. Really, really, to be honest, I'm not the pastor of this church. I'm the assistant pastor. The Holy Spirit is the pastor. I do what he tells me to do. I'm not the top dog. There is a top dog, and his name is God and Jesus and the Holy Ghost. And the reason why I can boldly say I'll never lead or pimp you, because I know who I answer to. And these jackleg preachers and prophets and bishops, they really don't believe in God, or else they wouldn't act the way they act. I don't want to be the only person blessed in this building. I don't want all your money and then y'all sitting with no lights, no cars. Y'all all riding the bus and me and my family is doing good. We eating steak and lobster and y'all have Spam. I don't want a church like that. I would rather struggle with y'all and us get there together than to me be on the top and you on the bottom. I want to be there together. Right now, I got some struggling in my finances right now. But why do I come and preach to you? Because some of y'all got struggles. And we're going to struggle together, but we're going to grow together. And we're going to get blessed together. And it's all going to be done together. Why do you think the FBI is investigating our city? Because for far too long, people have been in office who are on the take. They take, and nobody gets anything. The school system is messed up, but people got $800,000 contracts. That stuff has to stop. You got a nice car, nice house, but our school is going to ruin because you taking. I'm not blaming anybody because I don't know who to blame. All I know is for far too long in Muncie, Indiana, we've had bad leadership that take from the people that they should be given to. School system is bad, but the private schools are doing good. School system is bad, but the county schools are doing good because they don't mind taking money from us and putting it everywhere else. But we're not going to be them kind of people. We're going to stand up and have a voice. Whatever you do, you're going to have to start doing us right. Amen. All right. Amen. Enough of that. I know this is practical, but it's good preaching and teaching. Amen. All right, let's go to leader pimping case study B, the followers. I'm about to turn a corner. Go back. I don't want to go to that point just yet. I'm going to put the followers. Because it looks like what I'm talking about, that there's only one way pimping. Only the leader can do the pimping. But the truth of the matter is sometimes followers pimp the leaders. There are some churches that are not run by the pastor. They're run by the people in the pews. And the pastor can't really preach what God wants him to preach, because people are getting mad and they'll stop giving and they'll leave the church. And when they leave the church, they'll talk about the church. So sometimes the pastor is scared because he's not pimping the people, but the people are pimping him. I had a situation that I was young. I was a youth pastor. And a young lady decided she was going to move out of town. And I gave counsel and said, I don't think you should do that. I don't think you're ready to move and make this big move, because I think you should wait a little and try to find a job here, build yourself up, and then make the move. No, I believe God wants me to make the move right now, and I need your help. And so they weren't going to listen to me, so I rallied people up, and we got them money to make the move to a certain city so they can go down there and they can make it. And they said, Pastor, when we make it, I'm going to come back and bless you. 2 months later, they was back in Muncie and failed. And then they had the nerve to ask me, could we help them again? We just gave you a bunch of money to get down there and get set up and get furnished. And when they come back 2 months later, I said, no, we can't do it again. And they went around town and told people we wouldn't help them. And the whole story changed. They didn't say that we helped them get down there. Because you know what people will do? No matter how good you are to them, people will turn around and pimp you and play you for the fool. So this just ain't one side. It's not just about the leader. It's about the followers too. You got some no good jackleg followers that all they want to do is take and they never want to give anything. They'll sit in the pew year after year after year. They'll let the pastor and the leader labor and they'll never offer anything. And then when somebody on Facebook says pastors are no good, they'll be the first one to hit like and love. And I'm wondering, wait a second, you don't have bad leadership and you don't have a bad pastor. So why are you chiming in with everybody else? Because you got some pimps in the pews too. I know it ain't none of y'all here, but we on Facebook Live, so I'm talking to the folk on Facebook Live. I'm not talking to y'all, but let me let you know something about your pastor. I love you, but I won't be pimped. You will not dictate what I preach, because I have a boss, and my boss is up there. My boss don't sit out there. Well, I'm going to stop giving. Well, we all broke anyway. It ain't going to bother us. Listen, it ain't going to bother us anyway. It's okay. You do what you want. Well, I'm going to go to another church. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord splits you. It's okay. I will not be controlled by attitudes in the pews. Because you didn't call me, you didn't hire me, and you can't fire me. All right. But this ain't for y'all. It's for the folk out there. All right. Let's go to the next point. Followers can also pimp their leadership. They can abuse, dishonor, rebel, take from, anger, and make life a living hell for their leader. Now, you ought to give yourself a pat on the back, because I do what I do with joy, because y'all don't make my life a living hell. But some people are so filled with hell and so filled with junk and so filled with hypocrisy, it's hard to lead them, because they will abuse and dishonor. They won't respect anything or anybody. And I'm grateful I don't have a whole lot of people like that in this church. So pat yourself on the back that y'all don't put me through living hell. But just because y'all don't do it now, I'm warning you, don't be them type of people. I want y'all to grow and become leaders, because what I found out about people are inherently selfish. And sometimes the people you help the most can be the most selfish. The people you do the most for can be the least appreciative of what you do. And so you have to be careful of letting people and their attitudes and their guilt trips control how you are. And we have to be careful, especially when we deal with people who are addicted. We have to be careful being enablers, where we run and jump. And a lot of times when they have interventions with addicted people, they have interventions with their families and say, listen, if they're ever going to get off the drug, you got to stop letting them control you. You got to learn how to say N-O. The most anointed thing I can do as a pastor is to learn how to say no. I'm one person. I can't be everywhere at every time. I can't be at everybody's function. I can't be everywhere. So the best thing I can do is just say no. And sometimes the best thing you can do is just say what?
No.
All right, next thing. Now, let me give you a couple examples. God. I should put commas so you understand. These are four different people I'm just pointing out. God, Moses, Samuel, and Jesus. Four great leaders who all got leader pimped. They all got pimped by the people that were following. Let me give you an example. God. God creates Adam and Eve, creates the universe, the world, plants a garden in Eden, and says, you can have everything you want. Just don't touch that one tree. But everything else, I'm going to bring the animals to you. You can name the animals. You got all the fish. You got everything you need. The only thing I want, I only ask one thing for you. Don't mess with that one thing. And what did man do? Just the one thing. Adam, you had one job. But that's how we do God. You can have the 90%, but just offer the 10% so I can bless you. And that's what we want to take. So God got leadership. Moses got the people out of Egypt. He talked to Pharaoh face to face. Moses grew up with that Pharaoh, and he went back, and Moses was even afraid, said, I can't even talk. But he mustered all the strength, him and Aaron, and went and did everything they had to do. And when they got to the Red Sea and it hadn't opened, the children of Israel said, you brought us out here to die. Everything he'd done for them, they said, you brought us out here to die. And then he got them over the Red Sea, and Moses went up the mountain to talk to God and came back, and they had built a golden calf and was serving the golden calf. And here's the crazy thing. They looked at the golden calf and said, this is the calf that brought us out of Egypt. Of all Moses. So Moses got leader pimped. Samuel got leader pimped. Sat by the followers. Samuel was talking to the children of Israel, and he said, God wants to be your God. God wants to be your king. And they said, we don't want God to be our king. We want a king like everybody else has a king. And Samuel said, no, you don't want that. And God interrupted Samuel and said, give them what they want. And sometimes, as a leader, we keep saying no. And God said, just shut up. Let them have what they want. Please don't marry him. Please don't go down that path. Please don't do that. And sometimes God says, just let them have what they want. Because they won't listen anyway. So they pimp. And then when you look at the kings, out of all the kings that they had, only 8 of them were good. And if you look at every single one of the kings, most of them were evil and unrighteous and led them into sin. But Samuel warned them, but they said, we want what everybody else wants. And then there was Jesus. Jesus got leader pimped. After all that he did, one of them rascals turned and betrayed him. Over 30 pieces of silver betrayed him and said, the one I kiss, that's the one, take him. But not only that, it's crazy to me because the Bible talks about all other disciples. At one time, he sent out 72. So he had more disciples. But the more Jesus did, the more people started leaving him. And so he was down to the 12. And even out of the 12, he only had 11. And out of the 11, only 2 of them came to see what happened with him. And out of them 2, only 1 of them stayed because Peter denied him. And what bothers me the most was when he was in the hall, when he was talking to Pilate, nobody said he opened my blinded eyes or he healed me from leprosy. Nobody stood up for Jesus when they were saying, crucify him. I was wondering, where is the mother where you raised his son from death to life? Where are those people? Those people said nothing. As awesome as Jesus was, his followers pimped him. So what I know, I'm not as great as none of them. And I know if I don't train you, y'all do the same thing to me. Not y'all, the people in Facebook. Not y'all. All right. So let's read a few things, then we're gonna get out of here. Hebrews 13:17. This is simple and easy, but let me say it this way: obey your leaders and submit to them. I ain't going to listen to what no man got to say. Let me read it again. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So listen, I got somebody I got to account to. But when I talk to him, please don't make him have to say, Rankin ain't gonna do right. Don't waste your time with her. In other words, it should be better that I'm talking to God and God say, please, whatever you do, don't give up on Rankin. She's good. She's good. So make it easy for me when I talk to my leader, because I got to give an account for your soul. I got to give an account for what I've done. And if I say I did everything I could and they chose hell, that's not going to be on me. It's going to be on you, but not y'all. Folk out there. Look at your neighbor and say, the folk out there. All right, next verse. We're going to read the same thing in the Message Bible. It says, be responsive to your pastoral leaders. Listen to their counsel. They are alert to the condition of your lives and work under the strict supervision of God. Contribute to the joy of their leadership, not its drudgery. Why would you want to make things harder for them? If anybody read my post on the 20 things about a pastor. Why would you want to make things harder? You should make it easy. You should be someone easy to lead, because you want God as much as your leader wants God, and you want to become a leader as well. And you want your God and your leader to look at you and say, well done, my good and faithful servants. All right, we're going to close with this passage of scripture and this point. I know I took a little extra time, but I wanted to do it for a reason, because I want to drop this in your spirit. All right, followers ready to become leaders realize there's really only one thing they need from their leadership. We're coming specifically to the church pastor relationship. I'm going to give you a quick example that some of you may remember. There was a time when Jesus came to Mary and Martha's house. And Martha was running around doing a whole bunch of stuff and trying to prepare for him and prepare for everything. And Mary was sitting down listening to Jesus. And finally, Martha got fed up and came to Jesus and said, why don't you make her help me? And Jesus said to Martha, Mary has chose that one needful part. Really, there's only one need that you have as a follower. As you sit in the pews, you don't need me to be cute. You don't need me to entertain you. You don't need the lights and the smoke and the camera. All that stuff is cute. But really, you only have one need when you come here. You don't need my attention. You don't need me to be your friend. You don't need me to be in your clique. You don't need me to rub on your back and pat you on your head and tell you how good you are. All those things are nice and good, but you only have one need. Somebody say, I only have one need. And somebody say, what is it, Pastor? Well, let me tell you what it is. It's not me being in your face. It's good for me to be in your face. But some people, if the pastor don't spend personal time with them, they'll leave the church because they want the pastor there. And they want to give the pastor pies. I don't need your pies. I don't know what you do at home and when you bake it. I don't need all that. I don't need your meals and your dinners. I love you, but I really don't need all that to make this ministry go forward. I'm glad that you love me, but really, I only need to do one thing, and mature followers really only need one thing. Somebody say, what is it, Pastor? I ain't gonna tell you quite yet. Let me say it again. Well, your wife didn't speak to me. She's got babies. Maybe she didn't see you. We really don't have to jump through hoops if you are a mature follower. When you're not a mature follower, everybody got to jump through hoops for you. Everybody, the pastor didn't call me. The pastor didn't say hi to me. I saw him somewhere. He didn't speak. And so I'm leaving the church. Now, real mature followers only need one thing. Say, what is it, Pastor? All right, I'm going to tell you. Let's read. Matthew 8:5. The faith of the centurion. When he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him. Matthew 8:6. Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. Matthew 8:7. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. So the centurion had a problem. Jesus said, I'm on my way. Next verse. Verse 8. But the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. But only say the word and my servant will be healed. Verse 9, for I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. Let me paint the picture for you. Basically, he said, I'm a leader myself. And so really, I only need one thing from you, Jesus. You ain't even got to come to my house. You don't got to check on me. You ain't got to inbox me and Facebook message me. Only thing I need from you, Jesus, is give me the word. And when you are a mature follower, all you need from your pastor is, Pastor, if you don't do anything else, I need you to speak the word, because one word from God can change my life. I don't want you stressed out. I don't want you messed up. But Pastor, I need you preaching the word of God. I want you anointed, and I want you to preach the word of God. You ain't got to wear a suit for me to be happy. You can preach in jeans and a t-shirt, but whatever you do, give me the word. Somebody say, give me the word. Give me the word. And he said, my household would change if you just speak the word. I believe that my bank account would change if my pastor would just give me the word. I believe my situation would turn around if I get the word. I only need one thing. I need the word. Speak the word. Speak the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. I need the word of God. I need the high from heaven. I need the word of God. I only only need one thing. I need God's word. I'm happy I got a nice leader. I'm happy that he cares about me. I'm glad he prays. But one thing I don't want him to stop is ever giving me the word. Last verse, and then we'll go. 8:10. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith." I've never found so much faith where a person would say, "I don't need nothing but your word." Because at the end of the day, the word is all I need. Thank God for a big building, but just give me the word. Thank God for lights and cameras, but give me the word. I need the word of God. And when y'all become leaders, your main objective is I want the word. Let's stand to our feet. That's it. Somebody say, "I need the word. I need the word." It's my job to be where I need to be to give you the word. Of course, I'm going to be kind to you. Of course, I'm going to be nice to you. But as you mature, your main objective is, man, I want that guy to give me the word. On the screen, it says, "God bless you. Thanks for joining us. Let's bow our heads." Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, I thank you that you're training me to never lead or pimp my people. And never be abusive to them. And God, teach me and train me. But God, you're training them not to abuse me and take advantage of me. But our major relationship is a relationship where I would give them the word and that they will receive it. And that they would give the word to somebody else. And lives will be changed. And hearts will be touched. And people will be saved. And communities will turn around. And neighborhoods will be fixed because of the word of the living God. So God, make us hungry for the word. Because those who do hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. God, give me the mouthpiece to speak the word of God. And God, we declare the word over our finances. We declare the word over our bodies. We declare the word over our minds. We declare the word, and the word of God has the power to turn everything around. And as Mother Woods would often say, Lord, we're out here on your word. In Jesus' name, and let everybody say, amen, amen and amen. If you need prayer for anything, would you just come?